Thank you.
The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will be chairing this hearing, so just hold on just one moment.
Okay, Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. Though you cannot see us, sir, I'm going to issue out the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Luis Quinones, our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and myself, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. I also want to tell you that we do have a victim that's also on the line that is participating telephonically, okay?
And one present.
Huh?
And one also present.
And one also present, okay? So I'm going to go over some information. When I go to that information, sir, I'm going to get back with you, Mr. Hamilton, to determine if there's anything that you would like to add or anything that I say in here that is not true. You are here appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. You are here for a regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. You are... currently serving a sentence for first-degree murder, sir. You became parole eligible on June 24th of 07, sir. You have been accepted according to your institutional progress report. You have been accepted to the Reborn Assistance Program located at 2546 West Orangewood in Phoenix. You have a job offer letter from Neutron Industries Incorporated located at 7107 North Black Canyon Highway, and you will be working for the above employer to help you cover your costs of food, housing, and clothing. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to the information that we have, you have taken several programs. It looks like you obtained your GED in 1983. Is that true, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, out of all the programs you have, I did mark some programs that you have attended. You've had the Transitions to Tomorrow, Skills for Life program, the Brief Interventions, Intelligence Thinking. I'm just doing some of them, sir. Substance Abuse Awareness, Relapse Prevention, Thinking Straight. Your last classes that I see that you took was in 2016, sir. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you did relapse prevention, intelligent thinking, money smart, substance abuse awareness of parenting, and thinking straight. All those classes was done in 2016, but you also had several classes that were taken in 2015. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And there is a letter in here from Reborn Assistance that says that you've been accepted in that program. It also talks about a fee that you would have to have. Do you have any cash or disbursements or funds from family and friends that would assist you, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. I also see the letter from Neutron Self that also says that they have a job that they would be willing to wait on you for. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, I see that also you haven't had a ticket incarcerated since 03, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And sir, I'm looking at your parole hearing. It appears as though you've had 20 parole hearings, 19 of them were denied, and you waived on one of them. Is that right, sir?
No, sir, this would be my 22nd parole hearing.
It's your 22nd, okay, well, you had 21 parole hearings, and only one of them, they were all denied with the exception of one that was waived, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to read you a little bit of the information, what's in the report about what occurred, sir. I'll read that to you. I'll get back with you. This is an incident that occurred on March 6th in 1982. It says that on about that day, for the purpose of obtaining the victim vehicle and the property, the defendant and the co-defendant, Willie Hamilton, stabbed the victim, Jerome Pitty, numerous times in the chest and back with a butt knife and through the knife, while the victim was tied with bar in a rural Maricopa County area. According to medical reports contained in the police report, the said knife wound caused the victim's death. The police report indicates that the victim's body was found in the desert area of rural Maricopa County by a biology student from the California State University, approximately 14 days after the death. Sir, it says that you admitted guilt in this instant offense, and although state you do not recall the circumstances surrounding the offense. Said that you and your brother were in California pursuing employment, and that you chose to return to your home state of North Carolina as they were unsuccessful in obtaining employment. That while hitchhiking back, the victim offered you and your brother a ride. He said that you were extremely high on drugs and alcohol. Says that while you guys were riding with the victim, you became involved in an altercation with the victim, although you did not recall how the argument began, and stated that a couple of knives flashed, and although you contend that no one was hurt, you said that you thought you tied him up. We drove for a short while and told us that he was just going to take the van and get it later. Says you didn't remember anything about the past except bits and pieces on the trip. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You were actually charged with first degree murder, kidnapping, and armed robbery. You pled guilty to the first degree murder. In exchange, the state dismissed the death penalty allegation, kidnapping, and the armed robbery charge, and they sentenced you to life imprisonment. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
It also says in here that at one point you had a claim that the denial by the Arizona Board of Education violated your due process. And then it also says that later that you sought to challenge the decision made by the Board of Executive Clemency, just as you did in your petition to the court that was dismissed on August 29th, 2012. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so I do want to note that although you, it's been a while, that you did have some disciplinary infractions, four of them which were majors, but it's been some time since any of those occurred. So, Mr. Hamilton, in your own words, sir, could you tell this board what was going through your mind, or what happened when you and your brother were hitchhiking back to South Carolina and encountered the victim who was giving you a ride, sir, to the best of your ability?
You know, to be absolutely honest with you, sir, I'm tired of, this is my 22nd hearing. Victim's brother and sister has heard this story repeatedly for 21 times. What you've already repeated is pretty much what's happened. I don't really feel I have empathy for the victim's brother and sister. I've lost my two uncles to murder. I've lost a son to a car wreck with another friend of his that we're riding speeding. I don't want to put them through having to go through this repeatedly. I don't want to waive my parole or hearings because it's something that I may want to eventually get out. I don't think you're going to give it to me today. I don't feel like you're going to give it to me today. Maybe one day I'll be able to get to my grandkids, but right now I'm just tired of putting the family through the same story every 6 months. I'd rather you just go ahead at this point in the game, deny me or whatever you're going to do, but you just take it for what's in the record and we'll let it go.
Alright, sir, that's certainly your choice if you choose to do that, but I do want to just let you know that there are three board members that are here that have not, may not have had the opportunity to hear you know, your story, but that's certainly your right, sir. I do want to ask you, Mr. Hamilton, so can you tell me, sir, at that time you said that you were on drugs and drinking. Have you been doing any drugs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
No, sir, I have not. I quit doing drugs when I came down on this sentence. I had one little incident way back in the 90s. I've not done anything since. I've taken some programs. I had two programs. CIO program was 2 years long. The transition program was a year long. I took UAs every month, sometimes twice a month, to prove that I hadn't been doing drugs. I quit smoking, I quit using tobacco, I quit doing drugs, all that.
Okay. So can you tell me, Mr. Hamilton, I know it's been some time now, sir, so can you just tell me what has changed in your mental thinking, how you think now that would be so much different from back then, sir?
Well, I'm 66 years old for one thing.
Uh-huh.
Back then, I didn't think too much of the consequences of any of my actions. I didn't think or care how it affected other people when I was on the drugs and alcohol. I was raised in a house where it was, my father was an alcoholic. He drank all the time. I beat my mom up and all that. That was around me all my life. And I just assumed that's the way it was, so that's the way I acted. And since I've come down out here, since I've gotten in these programs, and since I've seen what crime and what my actions have done to people, how it's messed up my own family and myself, and the way it's kept me locked up for years and years and years, and the suffering and pain that it's put that other family through, I don't see how anybody could not be a changed person.
Okay.
And put other people's feelings ahead of his own. I just don't understand why they couldn't do that.
Okay, sir. So, do you have any family here in Arizona, sir?
No, sir, I do not. All my family, what family I have left, I'm the oldest surviving member of my bloodline. I have kids and grandkids and a couple of brothers in North Carolina, but that's the only place I have family.
Okay. So, sir, I was reading, and I know it said in the report that you didn't recall what the argument was over that triggered this reaction. Do you have any recollection at this time of what the argument was over, sir?
Well, it wasn't really an argument. That was one of the stories that was told many times over the years, and it's just gotten all tangled up. Only thing that I remember about all this, and what I do remember about it, just like after I realized what was going on, I was the oldest. Willie was my younger brother. I felt an obligation to protect him. He took the van. He was the one that initiated all this. He was the one that originally stabbed Mr. Pritchie. Mm-hmm. I come around the van. I didn't have any knowledge that he was going to do this. I thought we were just going to thumb for a while. After we'd been riding for a while, he took control of the situation. He's the one that took the van. I was the one that had driver's license. I was driving the van.
Okay.
I thought he was just going to turn the guy loose when we stopped, but he didn't. He stabbed him, and then before I knew it, I was involved in it, and I ended up stabbing him too. I'm just as guilty as he is, or was, because I was the oldest. I should have stopped it. I didn't.
So,
but I took the blame for the whole thing because I felt an obligation to him, with him being my younger brother. He was the baby of the family. And I know how much it hurt my father if he ended up doing a natural life sentence out here.
So what happened with your brother? Do you recall?
He got out. He got out in 2007. He's been out since 2007. He's not in the best of shape. He's got diabetes. His liver and his kidneys are about shot. And you know, I've not been in touch with him myself in a long time. I just keep hearing from my other brother, who's a Christian, what's going on with him and all. He's not doing dope or anything anymore, but he's such bad health, he's about ready to pass away, I think.
Uh-huh. So I just have just one other question for you, then I'm going to go to the board and see if they have any additional questions for you, sir. It appears that the gentleman who, Mr. Pitchy, the victim who gave you a ride, was just being a nice guy and picked you up hitchhiking. Why would you want to harm somebody who's trying to be nice to you?
We shouldn't have. He did not deserve it. I didn't know that my younger brother was going to do that initially. He had never said nothing to me about it. He didn't say nothing about what he was going to do. He was always complaining. So when we first started out thumbing and stuff, he was complaining about having a thumb because our car broke down out in California. We had money to fix it. We were thumbing back in North Carolina.
Okay.
And I had no idea that he was going to hurt the guy. I didn't have any idea he was going to take the van until he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had, by the time, you know, I just went along with it. There's no excuse.
And it's more or less your contention that you pretty much took the rap of your brother.
I participated in it, but I did not know that he was going to do it. It was not premeditated on my behalf. I didn't know he was going to do it.
Okay.
But when he did, I participated in it.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Mr. Kenyonis.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes, sir.
Just a couple questions. I recognize this is your hearing. It's not your brother's hearing, but was he also given 25 years to life for this crime?
No, sir, he was not. I took the 25 to life to get him a lesser sentence. Did you get my parole packet that I sent in?
Yes, sir.
If you look at the plea agreement, you'll see that it states on their death penalty not be imposed off Richard Thomas Wheeling
after
he rejects his plea. That was one of the agreements that he was to get a lesser sentence. And he ended up with a 21.
Let me ask you this, and this is by no means an excuse for anyone, but did you know that your brother had this violence potential in him when you were out on the road?
I did. He's had mental issues ever since he's been born. He can't read nor write. He never was able to go to school or really to mouth much. He always had big problems with his teachers. Even when he was in prison out here, we were together a lot. And I couldn't even get him to go to education programs, try to get himself educated or anything. He was just, he's always had that type of violence. Personality, but I didn't know he was
going to
go to that extreme.
Now, sir, I'm just looking at the synopsis of the event, the crime. And according to that synopsis, you stabbed the victim to death. You're saying your brother stabbed the victim to death?
He started stabbing. And by the time I came around the front of the van, he'd already gotten out beside the door and started stabbing Mr. Pritchy. When I come around the front of the van, then Mr. Pritchy had already fallen and was on his knees, and that's when I started participating. My brother had already stabbed him like two or three times, I think, in the chest by that time.
Okay, you say participating, but you stabbed the victim as well.
I stabbed him once in the back.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, sir. I'm sitting the board house. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you. Mr. Hampton, is there any restitution owed in this case?
No, ma'am. There was no court-ordered restitution. That was one of the things that I have voiced a couple of times to this board over the years in the many parole board hearings. Is that's one thing that I would like to volunteer to do upon my release, if I ever make parole, is to make some type of restitution to the family. That's about the best I would ever be able to do. I can't bring him back. I wish I could. I wish I could change things, but I don't have that power. But I would like to be able to some type of restitution, some type of amends. I know it wouldn't mean much, but.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Thank you. And thanks, Mr. Johnson.
All right, sir. I see no other questions coming from the board, so I am going to come And at this time, Mr. Hampton, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. However, I do have some victims here that would like to speak. I'm going to ask them to come up. One is here, one is on the phone. I'm going to ask them to come up and speak. So while they're speaking, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. And Mr. Hampton, I am going to come back and get with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir. So at this time, we also have with us Michael Petrie. Sir, do you wish to speak?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you would just come up to the podium, sir, please state your name and go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
My name is Michael Pitchy. My brother, Jerry, was killed in 1982. He just got discharged from the Navy. He was heading home. He was going to stop by his father's that he hadn't seen in a very long time, which was in El Centro. And on the way, when he picked up the two hitchhikers, figured he'd give them a ride, and he notified them that when he got to El Centro, that was as far as he could take them, because he was going to go visit his father. When he got to El Centro and told them that they needed to get out, is when they basically kidnapped him. My brother was a very good man. He wanted to see his father and wanted to come home to his family. And he never got a chance to do it. Over the years that I've been coming here to these boards, I've been to all of Kelly's and all of Willie's, his brother. And since then, almost every single time, we've had a different version of what happened. Kelly may be remorseful, but we still haven't got a true story of exactly what happened. First it was him, he did all the killing, then it was his brother. We're never gonna know. This man was very lucky that he ended up only getting a plea deal. There was no way for me to keep his brother in prison. And now that he says that his younger brother was the main person in it, it hurts even more. Because he allowed somebody that violent to get out of prison. I don't know if it's true or not, but Kelly needs to stay in prison. There's no justice if he's let out. Restitution, there can be no restitution. I don't want no restitution. I know my sister doesn't. The restitution would be for him to stay in prison. He's alive. My brother is dead. There's nothing we can do about it. I beg the board to please keep him in prison. Thank you.
Yes, sir, let me see if the board has any questions. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to the phone now to Ms. Neiman. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and please?
Yes, I'm the sister of the victim.
Okay, could you just state your name and go ahead and present the information to the board, please?
My name is Linda Neiman, and Jerry was my older brother. We were only 19 months apart, and at the time I was probably 20, and I was 18, and my brother at the time of his death was 19. Okay, so for the love and my respect of my brother's compassion for others, I will never stop telling the story of what took place the day he attempted to drive to his father's in El Centro, then on home to his mother's in Nebraska. My brother had been discharged from the Navy in San Diego, spent three years overseas, and a month prior to leaving, he bought a van and a motorcycle. He even owned an electric guitar. His past 3 years of his life was loaded up in that van. He left around noon. I knew this because I had talked to him the night before discussing his plan. Somewhere along the freeway in San Diego, my brother either pulled over or was approached by two hitchhikers, Kelly and Willie. My brother's van was a two-seater, so a third person would have to ride in the back. It was an enclosed panel van. When Jerry arrived in El Central to let the hitchhikers out, Kelly and Lily pulled knives out on him. Kelly jumped Jerry from the back with his knife around Jerry's neck, Lily at Jerry's side. They drug him to the back where Kelly tied his hands, Lily tied Jerry's feet. Kelly took over the steering wheel while Lily kept watch on my brother in the back of the van, where my brother pleaded for his life for them to let him go. Even complained about the wrist, his wrist hurting from the cable ropes being so tight, which Kelly slammed on the brakes once, stating that he would not, told Willie not to touch the cord. Also that he had already put the knife to his throat, so there was no turning back. Willie said Kelly just wanted to F him up, even threatened Jerry as he yelled out when they stopped at gas, when Jerry yelled out at gas station and would kill him. Willie also said he offered pop and a hot dog, but my brother wouldn't eat any. May have been 3 to 4 hour drive until Kelly drove a half a mile off the road into the desert by Gila Bend, where Kelly and Willie untied my brother's feet so they could walk him away from the vehicle, making my brother believe they were going to tie him to a tree. Kelly, with the help of Willie, stabbed Jerry 7 times, 2 in the upper back, 2 in the stomach, 2 in the chest, and the last one through the throat. Maybe my brother tried to struggle, but couldn't do too much considering his hands were tied. Wouldn't you be a bit scared for your life if you were out in the middle of the desert? It was an easy kill. There was 2 of them. My brother didn't have a chance. Kelly removed the rope and the watch that was on my brother's wrist and left him dead next to a bush. Kelly chose to wear that watch home. Kelly also disposed of my brother's identification items, uniforms, and the knife he used near Mexico. Kelly and Willie picked and chose of what items to throw out or keep. Kelly and Willie drove all the way to North Carolina, where their father lived in owned land, placed the van there as if it was a salvage vehicle. Kelly soon turned himself in to authorities because he had left the state of North Carolina while being on parole or probation because of a past escape charge. Willie pawned my brother's guitar in order to pay for his past court fine, then went on to Texas with a friend. Willie and Kelly were caught after my brother's body was found in the desert by college students studying plants and the guitar having the serial numbers on it. This was a robbery, abduction, kidnapping, and premeditated first-degree murder. Premeditated by planning when and where to abduct, tie up, and get rid of the evidence, which was the victim. Kelly put my brother through so much mental and physical suffering, the extreme pain he went through, having no idea if he was going to live or die. To be abducted, tied up, confined, to lose everything right in front of your face, to be physically controlled as if you were hostage, the mental anguish of not knowing if you're going to live or die, the cruciating pain my brother felt before he stopped breathing. I do not trust anything Kelly says, or do I believe him. He has over-exaggerated and lied to this board about everything for many years. So he is not able to really feel remorse. He continues to blame the victim. Since taking consideration that Kelly was on probation from being paroled on one of his escape charges when he left North Carolina and murdered my brother. His past criminal felony activities involved pulling a knife on a police officer once and was charged with vehicle homicide where a person died. He has many excuses to all of those. So I'm asking you to keep this man in prison. My brother cannot walk. This man should not walk. Fair is fair. So the justice is for him, and my closure is for this man to stay in prison. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Newman. Thank you for participating, and thank you for voicing your opinion to the board. I'm going to go back to Mr. Hamilton at this time. You are more than welcome to stay on the line until we conclude this hearing, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Ms. Newman. All right, Mr. Hamilton, we're back with you right now. So is there anything else you'd like to say to this board before we go into discussion?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. The board's going to go into discussion at this time. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent on the forum until the board concludes this discussion. When the board concludes this discussion, sir, we will get back to you with the recommendations of this board, okay, or the decision made by this board, okay?
Yes.
All right. The board is now into discussing this. Mr. Kelly has had 21 appearances before this board. This was a violent and heinous offense involving a young man who just got out of the military and was on his way home trying to be a good Samaritan, giving two people a ride. Subsequently, something happened during that period of time, and according to the information that we have, it's stated in the pre-sentence report, they didn't know what the argument was over, but according to the victim family, the argument may have been over that he stopped at a location because he wanted to go visit his father. As a result of going to visit his father, this may not have been the reason, but you know, we weren't there during the trial and don't have all of the information from the trial, but however, there was something that caused this incident or argument to just happen, and this victim was fatally stabbed and left out in the desert, and his van was taken. Although Mr. Hamilton has taken some program since he's been incarcerated, he's taken some recent programming in 2016 and 2015 that he's taken his record inside of prison has been limited over the years, the more recent years that he's been incarcerated. However, the idea that I'm not convinced that he's changed, that they assaulted and robbed and killed this gentleman over a ride, who's been nice to them and trying to give him a ride, that you know, whatever triggered that to occur, which they were very high in drugs and drinking during that period of time, that if he's released, doesn't have a strong release plan, and family is, you know, not a lot of strong ties to his family, no family here in Arizona. I think because of his, you know, his violent past, that he was out on parole at the time this incident occurred, that at least for me, I'm not comfortable at this time granting Mr. Kelly absolute discharge, home arrest, regular parole. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board.
Mr. Chairman, I do agree, and I would just for the record to take note that we do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated November 8, 2017, opposing release for Mr. Hamilton.
Okay. I agree, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, therefore, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Hamilton at this time regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. That will be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
I'm going to mark for the reasons for denial as it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm going to mark it as a serious and deviant offense since the victim was left out in the desert. I'm going to mark trauma to the victim. I'm not sure the victim was alive or dead at the time that he was out there in the desert. I'm also going to mark the age of the victim since this was a young man just recently getting out of the military and just starting to start his life out. I'm going to mark also violated previous probation or parole. He had a history of substance abuse, history of solid behavior, history of a criminal history. I'm also going to mark history of assaultive behavior. I don't want to mark poor in a release plan because he did have some release plan. He did have some plans for work with the church that he's having. And he does have some community support. I'm also, I think those are the things that I'm going to mark on it for this time, unless the board has any objections. All right, Mr. Kelly, I mean, Mr. Hamilton, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, the board has voted to deny you general parole, absolute discharge or home arrest at this time, sir. That is the decision of the board. I do want to thank you for taking the opportunity and time to participate in your hearing today, sir.
Okay. Now, may I ask why the parole board, this hearing was about 60 days later than the 6 months? Would it have been on September, around September the 21st, would have been 6 months since my last one?
That's why we say on or about 6 months. It's not an exact date, and the board has to find the right time to place it on the calendar. So, but it is on or about 6 months. It's not an exact date, 6 months, but it's as close as possible that the board can get to. But we do understand your concerns, and we do take note of it, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Would you put this in?
Ms. Neal?